extend Christian greetings to each one present this evening. Thankful to each one who has come out again this evening. Trusting your body is getting tired, I'll join the crowd. But the spirit, I hope, is getting refreshed. That's what we want. So, I don't know, the children, you want to know the children's story? How many people here have been to Niagara Falls? We're getting far enough east that these people know that what Niagara Falls is. All right, well, tonight we're going to have a little story about Niagara Falls. For a verse in Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Well, if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you know that the water is flowing very, very swiftly. And as it gets closer to the falls, it picks up tremendous speed. This past spring, my wife and I were there and spent some time there. 40 years ago, we were there. And as a child, I was there. And the water is still gushing across that falls just like it did. You'd think it should be starting to slow down or something by now. Not all these years. No, it keeps on going. Well, tonight we have a little story about the Niagara Falls, the river. As that river is coming down through there, and as it gets closer and closer, it picks up speed, it narrows down. And there's a place here that they call the point of no return, because the water is so swift, and you can't. So there was two little children, Roger and Deanne, that had an offer from their father's friend to take a boat ride on the Niagara River. And so they get in the river, and their friend, Jim Honeycutt, was not familiar with that river, but he was familiar with a boat. And so they crawl in his aluminum boat. I think he had a 7.5 horsepower aluminum boat and 14 feet long. And they get in this river. And, you know, it's not hard to go when you're going with the stream. And they're going down through there enjoying life. Roger had his life jacket on. Deanne had hers laying beside her. And they're going down through there. And all of a sudden, this thing starts speeding up. Speeding up. Now, there's a select few people here that know what hydro is. How many people know what hydro is? Okay. On this side, there's probably more that know that. That's the Canadian term for electricity. They call it hydro on the north side of the border, and we call it electricity down here. So anyways, they come down past the Canadian hydro plant. And after that, it really starts to pick up speed. And Jim and Roger and Deanna in this boat, and it's going down through there, and all of a sudden Jim is sensing, you know what, this is getting dangerous. And so you know when the boat is going with the river, it's not too bad, but when he turned around, the river hit, the speed of the water hit the boat sideways, and the boat started to rock and started to jump and up and down, and Deanna got scared. She put her life jacket on real quick. And by that time, the pin sheared for the propeller, or the whatever you call it back there on the engine. And now they had no power, and by that time, the boat dumped its contents. Now, who wants to be in the river? I don't care if you have a water life jacket on or not. And the speed that water was going. There's only one thing that happens. You go down the river. Deanne looks around, and she's distorted. She sees a little orange life jacket bobbing up and down. That's her brother. I don't know if she ever did see Jim, the one who's riding the boat. And this river is taking her down through there. And it gets up to close to what they call Goat Island. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of people standing along the side there. And they're looking and they're watching, you know, this water. That's what we did last summer. I don't know what I'd have done if all of a sudden I'd seen a human being going through that water. I don't know what I'd have done. But that's what was happening. And all of a sudden, somebody sees this little orange going up and down. They look. And John Hayes was a truck driver from New Jersey. And he looks out and he jumps across the railing on a little 18-inch ledge. And he hangs on the railing and he tries to reach out and see if he can grab Deanne. And he couldn't quite reach her. So he runs down the river just a little bit. And she came over just a little bit closer and he wraps his leg around the post. And he reaches out and she grabbed his thumb. And she hung on for dear life. But he could not pull her in. And if you've ever been there, you know how noisy it is there. The roar of the water, you have to talk louder. But like I'm talking now, your wife can hear you. Not quite that bad, but it's noisy. And he hollers for help. And another man by the name of Jim, I think he was also from New Jersey, they must have a lot of good-hearted people from there. He jumps across, and he comes over, and they reach out. And they pull Deanne to shore, 15 feet from the falls before she went over. Does God still have miracles? Yes, he did. Tomorrow night, we'll tell you what happened to her brother. Lord willing. For our message tonight, I'd like to look at a subject, turning our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. If the song leader would please, after the message, lead number 441 in Hymns of the Church, I'd appreciate it. 441. Tonight, the title of the message is Parenting. Ephesians 5, verse 1. We're going to use this chapter as a springboard. We're going to go through this chapter and look at parenting. Parents, tonight, I want to commend you for your children, the behavior of your children in church. It's a quiet church, but I want to tell you something. If your child tonight cries and makes a fuss, that's all right. That's just Adam and Eve coming out. It won't bother me. I'll give you a little illustration. In our congregation, about 18 years ago, we basically had no children. I still remember when it happened, when the first baby came in and cried in church. That was music to my ears. So it's still, I got that memory. I enjoy children. So if your children misbehave tonight, don't get self-conscious about it. Ephesians 5, verse 1. As we think of parenting, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. As we follow God as parents, it will help our children to know how to follow God. I'd like to ask you tonight, is that what you want your children to do? Now, you're saying that's a very, very simplistic question. Do you really want your children to follow God, parents, tonight? If you do, look what this verse says. Follow God as dear children. The best way to prove to your children that you follow God is your footprints. It's in your everyday boots and shoes. Following. You know, we follow. When you follow something, there's someone ahead of you. Are you following Christ, and are your children following you? Psalm 143, verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Isn't it amazing how much schooling children give parents? You think it should be the other way around, not? And it is. But, you know, if you think, to use they're going to school and you're going to 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, whatever grade, you think you're going to be out of school, can I tell you something? I'm a little over 60 years old and I'm still in school. Well, you say, you're a slow learner. Well, I am. But I'm still in school. It's life. Life is school. Maybe not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but there's a lot of things harder than reading, writing, and arithmetic in life. But it's the school of life. Hebrews 10, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. There's some in parentheses I didn't read there, but it says in the volume of this book, I come. Dear parents, this evening our goal is to encourage you as parents in the task of being the potter and the shaping the lives of your children. You have only one opportunity. But let me tell you, parents, it's a lot easier to train a child than it is to mend a youth. Parents, tonight, children are products. They're not merchandise, but they're products. Homes produce products. There is things. I think I'm safe in saying this here. there is things that my boys learn that I never taught them. And one of them is what color a good tractor is. They learned that. I don't know what I ever taught them. My dad never told me what was best. But I did learn what a good one was. And here, parents tonight, your children are going to learn what is dear to you. I find it interesting how many mothers that have a daughter that likes to do the same thing that mother does. Why? Because they see the excitement in mother when she does it. Fathers, this evening, if you think going to church is hard work, that I'm not talking about being tired. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you think going to church is hard work, and you think getting to church on time is very difficult, if you think sitting underneath the message of your home ministry every Sunday is difficult and boring, I'm here to tell you something. Don't be surprised if your children won't darken the church house door. I know that's pretty straightforward. Because what we teach our children by our actions is what resonates. I'm going to go down through the chapter here and just pick out some verses and make some applications for us as parents this evening. Here he says, walking in love. We walk in love as dear children. How dear does your life reveal that God is to you? Is he just the emergency squad? Or is he your energy drink? Is he your vitamins? Is he the very sustainer of life? Parents, this morning, this evening, fathers, this evening, when you lose something, you're working with your child, your son out in the shop and you lose something, what do you do? I'll give you a suggestion. I don't care what size the bolt is that you lost. It's worth a prayer. And teach, don't use all resources before you pray. Look around, and if you can't find it, you can have a little brief prayer there with your son by your side. And you can teach him the value of just asking God about the simplistic things of life. And then when they face the difficult things of life, they'll recall, you know what? God cared about the little things. Well, he'll really care about the big things. That's parenting. Christ walked in love as in when he walked with his disciples, leaving an example. Verses 3 through 7. There is a list of sins here that hinder the weights that hinder our relationship with God. And fathers, this evening, I'm going to be hard on dads tonight, and I'm one of them. Because I believe that God is holding the fathers accountable for what's happening in our homes. And mothers, you are responsible to support the one who is accountable for the home. And as we mesh that together, there's a balancing and a beautiful effect here. But this Linda's list of sins here, let's read them. Verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God among the children of disobedience. We say those things are out there. I wish I could say that. But it says fornication, moral integrity. Fathers, tonight, if you are not living a victorious life in moral integrity, don't be surprised that your children are going to struggle with moral issues. I beg, if someone is here that is struggling with that, reach out for help. Because you must. It says here, it's not of the kingdom of God. But what about filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting? What is our speech, fathers, as we go about our duties? What about when the hammer hits the wrong nail? What about when something happens? How do we respond? You know, sometimes those stressful situations is what really gives us memories of what fathers are made of. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. And what is he saying here? He says, walk as children of light. Fathers and mothers this evening, are you walking as parents with light? What are the ingredients of the home? You know, I'm not a cook. I enjoy good food, but I'm not a cook. But there's one thing I think I understand. But you cannot use the ingredients for cook that making cookies and have a good salad. I don't think that works. But you know, sometimes parents get this idea that we can mix those kind of things in home life and produce a good product. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. That is why I say it's easier to train a child than mend a youth. Going down to verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Parents, you have a very limited time to teach your children. And I remember those days when I felt I was wore out and I felt I was burdened down. And what do? The energy of children can wear parents down, especially mothers. You're with the child every day, all day long. What do? How can you handle this? Redeeming the time, the span of time that you have to influence your child is so short. Make use of it. It's kind of a crude illustration, but it's a little bit like putting a cake in an oven. If you're going to put the cake in the oven and turn the oven on and go and do something else and forget about it, what are you going to have? Something that's not really delicate. Not really have a lot of people lined up to eat it. Why? You didn't redeem the time that cake was in the oven. Tonight, in your formative years, mothers, that chatter of that little child just over and over and over. I know it gets old. But use it as an opportunity. Recently, I seen I don't remember how it all was, but some mother posted something. As she kneels beside the bathtub, bathing her child, she can pray for them on her knees. I thought, what a beautiful thought. It's a simplistic little thing. Ministering to them. It's wonderful. Fathers, tonight, we have a precious opportunity. Going down through verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Where do we spend our time, fathers, this evening? The Bible is clear what is acceptable and is not acceptable for holy living. What are the footprints that we're leaving? And we come down to redeeming the time again. Children are like trees. The older the tree, the harder to change the direction of growth. Remember, naturally speaking, the bigger that trunk becomes, the harder it is to mold it. Yes, I believe that repairs can be done. But unfortunately, and I want to be understood correctly on this statement, I think counseling places have their place in life. But you don't very often hear people in places for counseling that came from good, solid Christian homes. Many times it's where there was struggles. Not always. The second thing I'll add to that one is That Christian home is such an elementary, basic fact in the establishment of that child. But the second thing that plays in there, fathers and mothers this evening, is good, solid, peaceful church life. Does so much in helping our young people in those formative years. Lord willing, tomorrow evening we're going to try to have words of encouragement for the youth. But while I'm talking to parents tonight, I hear parents sometimes expressing concerns about youth. I want to say this kindly, parents, but most times the youth aren't the problem. The problem's behind the youth. It's failure of a vision that makes problems. Parents, if you think children will grow out of sinful habits, you're only laying the groundwork for sorrow. Sinful practices cannot be tolerated in the home. I'm just going to give you a simple little illustration of what I mean by saying some of those. The father tells his son, "I want you to pick up the toys." And you know, the childish nature is to be pretty efficient picking up toys. And so dad asks the son, "Did you pick up the toys?" Yeah, I did. So dad gets out of his recliner. Number one problem for our home, we had a really comfortable recliner. Get the rest of the hint. But if dad got out of his recliner and went and checked up, the efficiency of picking up toys sometimes left toys laying around. So you ask son, why did you not pick up the toys? Or maybe you say, "Son, you told me you picked up the toys, but you didn't pick them all up." And the son goes, "You didn't tell me to pick up all the toys." Do you get where I'm going? I'm not one to have a whole lot of bargaining in that position. I believe we ask our child to do something. We don't demand it, we ask, but we demand performance. Am I clear what I'm trying to say here? That child needs to be taught that we're not in the compromising business here. We're not in the negotiating business here. Because what you're doing is that child is going to become a youth, Lord Terry's. And if you try to tell him if you can't tell him as a 6 and 7 year old, you're not going to tell him when he's 16 and 17. And then if he doesn't want to listen to you, and then you may think, "Well, you know, I wish the ministry would talk to him." And the ministry talks to him, and then you say, "Well, the ministry didn't really say it the way they weren't as kind as they should have been." You know what you're doing? You're laying the groundwork for a troubled youth. Sorry, but that's the fact. Teach that child to full obedience. Fathers, this evening, a child's concept of their father greatly influences their concept of their heavenly father later on in life. There's a lot of similarities there. That is why we don't negotiate with some of the things. So when that happens in your home, your child are just human. They're normal. But what happens after that is the place point that I feel is important. Now, I'm not going to get in all the details of child training tonight. I'll let you decide some of those things for yourself. But personally, I believe that God has designed the body with a connection of a warming of the seat and a cleansing of the mind. That's pretty simplistic. I don't feel that ears are made to jerk children around, but they're not merchandise. They're jewels. But God has given methods that work. Fathers this evening, our parents, but especially fathers, are you an example of a loving, firm, and a consistent leadership? Loving, firm, and consistent. If you find in your home that you need to raise your voice to get results, don't buy a PA system. Change the tactics. And you'll be surprised what that will do. Verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord for the home? If God has blessed your home with children, you are responsible to teach and to train that child to grow up to love the Lord. And if you can teach them to love and to respect you as a little child, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. There's many things in child training sometimes that we don't know what to do. We just wish we could know what to do. Well, you know, the Bible has a lot of points that we can use, a lot of good points. But so many times we think they're outdated. We want to use modern, I'll call it theology, in child training methods, and we can't figure out why they turn out like the world. If you're going to use the world's methods, then you're going to probably have a worldly child. And I want to be understood. I'm not trying to come down as a harsh taskmaster tonight, but as a loving father and mother. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thankfulness is essential for healthy living. Parents, which list is the longest? Thankful for my blessings or things I wish were different? A happy home sets an atmosphere for learning. Grumpy dispositions bring negative results. I think in our home, my wife sometimes had a grumpy child sit in a chair till they could be happy. It's surprising what a chair can do to a child. You know, the outlook of life. But this dad isn't always happy. But he thinks his child should be happy. Now wait. But let's be understanding. Children have their struggles sometimes. Verse 20 says, giving thanks for all things. I think it's important that children learn to say thank you and to be thankful. But parents tonight, how do you respond when your little child means to be so helpful? And they bring the container of eggs over, and just before they get to the table, we have eggnog. How do you respond? Do you respond in harsh tone of voice, explanation, putting the child down to melting the child's heart? Or is there another method? Maybe you need to be more careful next time. Mothers, this evening, how do you respond when dad comes, you prepared a nice meal for dad and he comes home late? I think I knew of one mother, if that happened, his food was outside. You have any idea what kind of home life that was? You have any idea where those children turned up? But dad, what about when you come home and you're in a hurry and mom had a fussy baby and a toddler and a grumpy three-year-old and a hungry husband? How do you relate to those situations? Most men wouldn't survive that. That's why God gave it to the strong part of the home. Somehow mothers can pull that three off and men get frazzled out. How can we say we have prayer before we eat and we say thank you for this food and we open our eyes and say, I don't want that, I don't like it? In our home, and I'm saying this boastfully, but in our home, that was not tolerated. Our children learned very quickly, you don't say you don't like something, because it was the surest way to get it on your plate. But they also learned that they're just quiet. It might go past. So you had to be a little alert and let them taste some things. And I don't say you have to eat every food. You know, I could tell you some more stories. I'm going to have one for you, the youth, tomorrow night about food. I'm not saying they have to eat, but I get troubled when I blatantly hear a child say, I don't like it. Maybe you don't care for it. But then there's a balance there. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is suggesting that a husband and wife work together as a team. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto who? It says your own husbands. Wives, tonight, as you submit to your own husband, You are setting an example for your daughters. And may I tell you something, mothers? If you don't submit to your husband, don't be surprised to have a 16 or 18-year-old daughter that will not submit to you. Because God has placed laws in place, and if they are violated, there's consequences. Now, coming to this side, we're not lords over God's heritage. You know, some people say Ephesians 5 was written for the church, and some people say it was written for the home. I think it was written for the church and the home. There's so many beautiful examples, and this is where sometimes we fail, I'm afraid. Sisters, this evening, do you make it easy for your husband to love you? When was the last time you gave him a special treat? Or do you have negative speech or an attitude about what he's providing for you? Sister so-and-so has a nicer mixer than what I do. Sister so-and-so has a new oven, and I don't. Sisters, tonight, is your conduct and speech directed and conducted in such a way that you try to manipulate and control your husband? Proverbs 27, verse 15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Have you ever tried to take a nap when you hear something, a water dripping in a pail? It's a little annoying. The Bible talks about that. Verse 23, for the other side of the house, for the husband is the head of the wife. As a leader, the husband is to lead out. But you go back to the beginning of time, husbands, tonight. When God came to the garden, who did he go to? He went to Adam. Tonight, if he'd knock on your door and he'd say, Adam, what's happening in your home? What would you say? Would you be ashamed? Or would you invite him in as a guest and come eat at our table? Husbands, you are accountable. Are you alert what's happening in your home? Husbands, tonight, you can be an authoritarian with a loud voice and demand instant obedience with no relationships. Fear, and the child will listen. Or you can be very passive and let your children grow like trees and bend to their own lightnings and surrounding winds. Or you can gently and consistently have pressure points to help the child develop characteristics that will lay the groundwork in order to be sensitive when the time comes when the Holy Spirit will quietly speak to them. That's the goal, fathers and mothers, is to prepare that heart and that mind that when the Holy Spirit speaks, they will listen and respond to that. Remember, a child's will needs to be broken and not crushed. It is important, I believe, that parents, that we have an atmosphere in the home that helps children learn how to make good choices. I think I've seen homes where parents basically made all the choices. I'm not saying that the three-year-old makes a choice when he goes to bed. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you get up there and they get those little choices and help them make good choices, and as they get in those teenage years, help them learn how to make good choices. Walk beside them. It's not always easy. And I can speak here because none of your leadership told me this, but it's not always easy for a church leader to take care of the church and direct his family. Because sometimes he has to tell his children, I need to do this for the church, and you need to go do this, while the other parents could go out and go with their child. So maybe sometimes just give a gift of appreciation to the minister's children. But an interesting observation that I have made in our own home and other homes, sometimes school teachers have the unfortunate job of filling out the report card for the home. You know, I've heard expressions, well, my child doesn't do that at home. Probably does. Maybe just in a little different form. Going down to verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The beauty and strength of the church lies within each member's proper view of God, a proper view of God that is manifested by our lives. Wives, while you may find submission challenging at times, but remember the accountability placed on your husband's shoulder. Sisters, this evening, be very careful in defending your children in front of them in something that Father has tried to correct. This is bedroom discussion, not kitchen table discussion. Children will learn that real quick. My father, as a little boy, was naughty, and his mom wanted to give him a spanking, and he ran away. And he started running away, and she says, "That's okay. I'll let it go till Grandpa comes home." You know what he did? He made a U-ey, and he come home and let Mom take care of it. He knew Mom and Dad were on the same page, and he would have rather had the loving paddle of Mom than the little harder loving paddle of Daddy. Most children learn that. But support each other. You know, it's kind of cute from Grandpa's standpoint sometimes when something happens and you see a little grandchild knowing which way to run for sympathy at the moment. But it wasn't so humorous when it was our children. But to me, it's Adam and Eve is still alive. Keep working at it. Keep working at it. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, we'd all say we love our wife, right? But what does the rest of it say? Even as Christ loved the church. Oh, yeah, we do that. Okay? But what's the next part? And gave himself for it. Right here is a man that doesn't die very easily. He has a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas. But Jesus gave his life for the church. Husbands, tonight, I believe if we are willing to give our life for our companion and our life for our family, I think we will have outstanding results in raising children for the Lord Jesus Christ. I fully realize that there is children, they come to the place that they make decisions, and sometimes, as one young man, at his mother's funeral, I talked to him and I said, "Do you know that your mother had a great concern for you because he had turned his back? He had chosen to follow the Lord. He was a faithful man. He had turned his back and went out into the world." And when I told him that, you know what he said? He said, "Mom made some awful big footprints." And I thought, praise the Lord, those footprints won't be erased in your life, young men. So if someone's here that has a child that has made wrong choices, keep them on your prayer list. How did Jesus show his love? He stooped down and he washed the disciples' feet. The agony that he found himself in the garden there. But he did that all and he died for you and I. Have you given your wife your life? Have you given your life for your wife? You know, this sounds maybe a tad humorous, but this is the world's view of it. Many years ago, my wife and I were traveling on an airplane. And as a young man, I thought I had a little bit of wit, and I could think fairly fast, and you know, and we were having a discussion with a Mormon, and he was challenging this, and I was answering back and challenging and answering back. You know, it was just kind of like going in circles in a mud puddle. Nothing was really happening. God taught me a lesson that day. For some reason, the Holy Spirit put to my mind to quote a Bible verse. You know, instead of us going in circles, not getting anywhere, it was done. That debating was done. Only one wife. And a wife can only have one husband. Yes, that's what the Bible said. You know what he said? He looked at my wife and he said, "You're stuck." And my wife and I have reminded each other of that for probably 35 years. You're stuck. But you know, I enjoy being stuck with my wife. But to him, he didn't see the beauty of it. What I'm trying to say is the Bible method still works better than our own thinking pattern psychology. So much for that. I'm getting off my subject. Fathers, this evening, when was the last time you took time to listen to your wife's heart throb? We get so busy, and your wife starts telling you a story, and if she talks real fast, she might get halfway through until you have the problem solved. And she never really got to the problem yet. She was just giving you the introduction yet. Maybe you're doing a lot better job. I'm revealing myself. Husbands, tonight, if you can't get the hint yet, I'm just telling you, when I go down these messages, I'm revealing my weak points. And it's embarrassing, but if it helps someone else, I'm willing to try to do it. Fathers, this evening, are you leading as a shepherd? That's how Jesus leads. As a shepherd, caring for his sheep, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word. Washing of the word is essential in keeping the parasites and infectious diseases out of our lives and the lives of our children. Verse 28 through 30. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. How much do you love yourself? Shall I ask your wife? You know, you say you love yourself this much, but you love her the same amount. So I'm curious how she would say how much you love yourself. You know, get the picture here a little bit? That's what the Bible says. Well, you know, I do a pretty good job taking care of myself, don't we? That's natural. But really, can you take your coat off and put it on your wife to keep her warm? That's what we call submission. That's what we call beauty. That's loving her more than I love myself. The beauty of a relationship of parents and son is replaced with a beautiful husband and wife relationship in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. You know, our marriage day we got married was a very happy day. But to see our children find Christian partners is a tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. Verse 33. There is no place it said the husband is to love the perfect wife. Did you know that? It just says, love them. But neither does it say that the wife is supposed to submit to the perfect husband. In our imperfections, we can enjoy life together. And you know, the older I get, the more I think my imperfections leak out. I'm not sure is that immaturity? I don't know what you call it. But in the midst of all those imperfections, God has placed the responsibility to raise children for the Lord. It's your responsibility and an opportunity. Husbands, when was the last time? Let me start over. Husbands, remember that girlfriend you used to like to take out for a date? Okay, let me rephrase that. Husbands, take your former girlfriend out for a date, your wife. Take her out for a date. You know, my mother loved to cook. And if you wanted to go treat her, give her a treat as she was old and a widow, to take her out to eat was not a pleasure for her. But my wife enjoys when she can eat other people's cooking sometimes. I think it's good. But at the same time, it works both ways. Going over to chapter 6, children, obey your parents. Children, that's what the Bible says. Children, you are to obey your parents. When dad says no, what does that mean? It means stop doing what you're doing. That's what no means. This is upon the basis that parents are going to require obedience. We can demand it. But there's a difference between demanding and requiring. The results are vastly different. Boys, does that mean when mom asks you to sweep the floor or hang up the laundry, does that mean you have to obey mom? Or do you want to be like the two children were in the story last night? Have a little duck story to get your point across. No, that's not what we're talking about. When they ask you to do it, you do it. What about when it's time to get up in the morning? Can you bear with me just a little bit tonight? I'll try to keep you awake. I have some memories of a boy that would like his bed in the morning. He didn't go to bed when he should have at night, but my father was one. When he called us, or mom called us, we were dairy farmers. My dad would get up and go to the barn. My mom would get up and call us and go to the barn. And a little bit later, and it was a wise move to get up when mom called. But in our house that I grew up, there was a flight of steps that went up, and there was two steps that went around a corner, and I think there was two or three steps till it was up on the main level. And I don't know why, but those corner steps had a certain creak that I just hated to hear. You have an idea why? When those steps creaked, I knew Dad was in from the barn, and he was at that corner, and I wished I was somewhere else besides in bed or in my room, because I was supposed to be in the barn. The rest, you can imagine what happened. It helped me learn some things. And in my mind, I can still hear that corner squeak. And that's a long time ago. But it taught me something. Parents, consistency. Verse 2 and 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Maybe this is referring more to you as youth and teenage years. Maybe you don't understand, but you are asked, God requires you to respect your parents. Respecting your parents, even though they may not understand, but respecting them is laying the seed for a future happy home for you as youth. And I know I went through it, my children went through it. There is a span of time that you think they know more than parents. That's because you're human. But give it time, and that will reverse again. You will lose some of your intelligence as you have experience. And another way of expressing that is sometimes youth have more zeal than knowledge. Zeal and knowledge together is beautiful. And that's the beauty of the church. It's a whole other subject. Children and youth tonight, you can learn from your parents and save yourself a lot of scars. Or you can hear, go and learn them by yourself. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, this evening, are your child training methods producing a calm atmosphere where you can hear the clock tick? Or are your methods shattering the quietness of the home, but bringing results instantly because of fear? I trust not. Is your home life heavenly or hectic? Fathers, this evening, are you walking beside your sons in those adolescent years where many habits and thinking patterns are developed that influence their lives now and in the future? Mothers do so much better job than that than us men do. But I encourage you, fathers, know the state of your flock. Know the state of your sheep. Know the state of your lambs. There is many things. I feel blessed when I look across a congregation like this and I see all these children. The potential that's here is, it blesses my heart. It's what keeps me going. Because there's, you know, I'm working myself out of a job. I'm not old, but I'm older than a fair amount of you here. And I see we're wearing out. And yet, we want to invigorate the next generation to take on the banner as fathers and mothers and children. I see the future congregation here this evening. Take courage, parents. We have this moment to hold in our hands. And it is fleeting so fast. You know, my wife and I, as young grandparents, have a 16-year-old grandchild. What happened? It's like, it wasn't that long ago. Yes, it was. You have this moment. Redeem the time. Recently, someone put out a quote from someone. This is what it said. A father and mother who lack love for one another often produce children who have a distorted view of themselves and everything and everyone around them. I had to think of the song, there's beauty all around when there's love at home. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm not going to take the time to read it. I'm going to give you a little assignment. Read Psalm 127 and 128 sometime. It's a beautiful picture of the home. May the Lord bless each home that's here this evening. Don't get weary in the fight. Don't get discouraged. If you think, you know, we got to stop. If you think you're getting wore out, just try it one more time. That might be the one that wins the battle. Thank you again for the well-behaved children here. And children up front, I appreciate and I recognize your attentiveness. I'm not trying to keep track of everybody, but I do happen to recognize sometimes what's happening. And when I see children and the age brackets up here paying attention, it blesses my heart. Could we sing that song, please? 440.